Welcome to a burning fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Thou shalt not steal. That's the eighth of the Ten Commandments that God gave unto Moses for the people of Israel. And this is a part of that which is included in the system of Jesus Christ. Now this commandment gives recognition to the right of private ownership and provides safeguards for it. It's not surprising to find this safeguard of property alongside other solemn safeguards of life and morality, because there is such a thing as stewardship and responsibility that would be destroyed if one was allowed to steal. This commandment deals primarily with the handling of material things, of course, things that are not supposed to be of primary importance to the Christian anyway. But since they exist, and we must be used for the sustenance of life, and each one has a certain responsibility to rightly use whatever comes into his possession, we're not surprised that God has provided certain protections toward properties that make stewardship possible. Now, historically, property rights have been grossly abused. Many attempts have been made to set them aside. Laws regulating property, they often are ignored, they are overrun. Experience that abandoned the right of private ownership have been tried only to end in miserable failure, even though those who tried them might have had good intentions and good motives for the common good. And even at this moment, our world is embroiled in a worldwide conflict between systems that deny private ownership and systems that defend and encourage private ownership. But friend, history has taught mankind, if we would only learn, that the abolition of private property and the rights thereto constitute the abolition of virtues of industry and thrift and prudence and stewardship and even personal dignity. The Eighth Commandment protects these virtues by protecting the rights of ownership that motivate and cultivate these virtues. Now, it's been contended by some that the early Christians were communists, that they demonstrated true and perfect communism. Earl Broder, who was a leading communist in the United States, once said that the communistic system he advocated and Christianity were connected, and that he was simply trying to bring it into reality. But friend, that's not true. Christians enjoyed private ownership, while communism limits and denies that very privilege. The pooling together of the resources of the early Christians to assist the needy, it was a voluntary and a temporary measure, while communism confiscates property and places it all under state control. The early Christians distributed to each one as they had need, but communism intends to give everybody the same amount, regardless of the need. So the two systems, they're certainly not the same, and in many cases contradictory. Philip, Mark's mother, Barnabas, the centurion, they all owned property. Ananias and Sapphira owned property. Oh, yes, they were punished, but not because they had property, but because they lied about what they had given. Peter affirmed their right of distribution of their possessions. Rather than denying the right of private property, the faith of Jesus Christ encourages it, but it requires those who have possessions to treat those possessions as a trust given to them by God, and they are stewards of it, and they shall give an account of how they acquired it and what they did with it once it was under their control. Among the obligations that are inherent with ownership is that of being generous and charitable toward those who are without. Ownership is not only a privilege, friend. In one sense, it's a duty. Now let me show why we would contend it's a duty to seek ownership. As Christians, are we not morally obligated to help those who are in need? Can one shirk this responsibility by deliberately keeping himself poor and without the means to help? Poverty may not always be avoided, but deliberate poverty can be avoided through work. The deliberate and willful avoidance of accumulation of possessions and seeking poverty, that's to shirk a duty to be able to help others who are in need. You throw also the burdens on others to provide for your needs. You make it possible for you to be a benefit and assistance to others when you yourself are an owner of property. We are to labor to provide for ourselves and for those who are our own, but not only that we may live, but that we can have that to give to those who may suffer misfortune and who have need. Now, many people of God of the Old Testament, they were people of great possessions. Abraham, Job, or there were many others. And many strong Christians through the ages, and even today, are people who have great material wealth at their disposal because they've been profitable servants. They've been good managers of that which came into their care. They have gained and increased, and some have manifold abundance. Many church buildings stand today because of good Christians who had accumulated an economic surplus, made the acquisition of these buildings possible. Schools, missionary efforts, religious journals, orphan homes, on and on, many other good works are done because some have used their talents they have earned and even a large surplus and abundance, but who have used those things to provide for the good things that are needful. It is a false and vicious accusation to contend that all who are wealthy have gained their wealth in a crooked and underhanded fashion. That's simply not so. Doubtless some have done this, but there are many who have not done it that way. And we must give a word of caution at this point. It is a talent in itself to be able to rightly use wealth rather than to let wealth possess us. Some who have received large sums of money have allowed it to control their lives, and it's ruined them, and it's damned their souls. Some who have never had very much also fail to show the ability to properly use even that little that they have. But because some misuse what is placed into their trust, that does not mean material ownership is evil. Friend, it is not money that is at the root of all evil. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. One's attitude toward what he has is what counts, whether he's rich or whether he's poor or whether he's in between. His attitude will determine what he will do to acquire wealth and how he will use it once it is acquired. But we err to think that it's impossible for the rich to go to heaven. It indeed may be more difficult, because he may be inclined to put his trust in his material possessions rather than in God. He assuredly cannot please God if his riches come first with him before God. Sadly, this is often the case. The reason this is such a danger to the rich is because they might be inclined to put their trust in their riches and in their own abilities to get material gain, and they forget God. But if a person has the talent, if he has the ability, if he has the opportunity to earn, and then uses what he earns to the glory of God, realizing, of course, he's responsible before God for that talent and that ability, that opportunity, and he's responsible for the way he uses his wealth, then that person can be a means of blessings for multitudes. Now, this eighth commandment, it protects not only the right of ownership, but it governs the means of acquiring ownership and possessions. A person may have wealth because of his labors. He may have it through purchases and investments by inheritance, or even from receiving gifts. All of these are honorable means of gaining possessions. But the devious methods that some use to acquire things, that is forbidden to the follower of God. And gambling is wrong because it's an attempt to circumvent God's approved way of having things. That's an effort to gain something for nothing. It results from the lust for possessions without toil. Its presence has demonstrated repeatedly it discourages work and thrift and industry and even morality. This commandment, thou shalt not steal, it deals primarily with the acquisition of wealth by means and methods that violate the rights of others. Theft, fraud, dishonest transactions, larceny, cheating, swindling, embezzlement, misappropriation of funds, violations of trust, shoplifting, non-payment of debts, padded expense accounts, they're all examples of taking what does not belong to the taker. Now, our courts and laws usually make distinctions in these matters based upon the varying definitions given to crimes, based upon the amount that's taken, extenuating circumstances, but friends, such distinctions do not abide in the Word of God. Regardless of the procedure used or the amount involved, such things as I have mentioned, they are violations of the rights of ownership, and they constitute a violation of the command, thou shalt not steal. And to contend otherwise would be to contend against the Word of God, and that's the worst theft of all. Jeremiah 23 and verse 30 says, I am against the prophets, the Lord said, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Yes, there are many who are robbing God today. They're robbing God because they do not give to the cause of God as they should. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, will a man rob God? Yea, ye have robbed me. But I say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. The question, will a man rob God? Well, the answer is yes. How can men rob God? They can rob God by robbing their neighbor, stealing from your neighbor and your friends and your associates things that do not belong to you, that are not given to you, that you have taken by devious means, and you rob God by taking that which ought to be in God's treasury, and you keep it for yourself. We read about a man named Achan, right after the capture of the city of Jericho, when the Israelites came into the promised land. You remember that the spoils of that city belonged to the treasury of God. But Achan, he lusted after some of the riches that he saw. He took it to himself, and as a result, he brought a great tragedy upon the nation and upon himself. But friend, when we withhold proper contributions unto God, we're doing the same thing that Achan did, and God will not hold us guiltless in doing that. Let us understand this, that the faith of Christ, it provides the antidote to stealing. Christianity is the cure for that greed and selfishness and materialism and the evil motives that provoke people to acquire possessions wrongfully and then to use them wrongfully. Yes, the faith of Christ appeals to the heart of man to be compassionate, considerate, respectful of others and what others have, and they will not take from others that which does not belong to themselves. Dear friend, this is a commandment that we need to heed and obey. Christians will listen to it. Paul said, let him that stole steal no more. Thou shalt not steal. That's one of the proclamations from Almighty God. And if we be pleasing to God, we will respect that commandment, and we will not steal. This is a burning fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.